Yeah, I want to thank you, brothers, as well, or young men, to lead the group of young men, the younger men, in the boys' camping. It's definitely a character building for these young men, younger men. They do hard things, and it's good for them to do harder things and to go out of the comfort zone. So thank you, young men, for leading out this week. And also, I didn't hear anything about that the food was not good. So no news is good news. Are we good? This feels kind of echoey. So also want to, the worship, again, I'm just so grateful that you spend time preparing for the worship time. It's a big part of our service, and it's anointed. I feel the anointing of it. I just thank you for that. And also for the cleaning that took place this last week. I think till Wednesday evening, most of it was done. And that was quite a blessing to people coming together and just working together and cleaning this place up. There's still some stuff outside to do, but it'll get done here in the next week or two, I think. So thank you. Thank you for doing that. So for the text this morning, we're going to go to Romans 12. Thank you. So Romans 12 starts off, and it talks about a personal responsibility for us. The first 11 chapters in Romans, we see a lot. The first couple chapters is the judgment of God's judgment of sins and how we have broken the law. But God remains faithful. And he shows us that all people, we are all sinners, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And then how there was forgiveness granted to us through Jesus Christ. And then how Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And it's the same way for us. As we believe God, put our faith in Christ, it's counted for righteousness. We are right standing before God. What a blessing. So I'm going to read Romans 12. I'm just going to read 1 and 2 for now. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, Paul here wrote in the first 11 chapters of who God is and who we are. And that's the basis that we want to take this chapter. The next chapter is from Romans 12 to the last chapter in Romans 16. It's on how we live as Christians. That's the basis of the next couple of chapters here. So if you never read Romans, it's a very powerful, it's really good on who God says we are and what he has done for us. But then again, here we see what our response is because of that. It's not that we please God by these actions. It's not that we please God more. It's our response of what God has done for us. So as we see here, it says, I beseech you. I beseech you is a word that we don't really hear in our everyday language. It's not, what does beseech mean? I beseech you. It means, I beg you. He is begging us to make a choice. He says, Paul is here is asking us, asking the Romans to make a choice about how we live for him. He's asking us to decide something. He is begging that we would decide something. And he's hoping that we make the right choice. So what is he begging for? It says, I beseech you, therefore. Therefore, again, is a word. He refers back to what he just shared in the last couple chapters. He's referring back. That's what therefore means. It says, by the mercies of God. So as we think about the mercies of God that he shared in the first 11 chapters, what is mercy? What is the meaning of mercy? Mercy is withholding what we do deserve. Again, mercy is withholding what we deserve. We deserve judgment. We deserve punishment for our sins. But mercy, God does not give us the punishment we deserve. We deserve hell. And he does not give that to us if we put our faith in Christ. In 1 Peter 1, verse 3, you don't have to go there, but I'm just going to, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is mercy. That is mercy. Then on the other hand, grace. What is grace? Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is withholding what we deserve. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. It is through grace that we receive forgiveness. It is through grace that we receive salvation. It is through grace that we receive spiritual blessings. It is the grace of God. We don't deserve it, but it's through grace that he gives it to us. Grace gives us the gift we don't deserve, and that is heaven. We don't deserve heaven, but by God's grace, he gives us the gift to be with him in eternity, forever. Hallelujah. So Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. I'm just going to go there. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, it's a gift. So we see grace and mercy, both are gifts that he gives us. It's unearned. They're gifts from God. And they both work together. As we saw before, they work together for the plan of our salvation. So that's what Paul is asking. He is begging us. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, why? To present our bodies a living sacrifice. Maybe just go back and in some of those, in the first 11 chapters, what for mercy did God show us? In Romans 5, verse 1, let's just go there. Romans 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's mercy. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's mercy. Romans 5, verse 18. It says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came unto me all men unto justification of life. Again, there is justification from guilt and the penalty of sin. We are justified. That is the mercy of God that we're justified. Romans 8, verse 15. Romans 8, verse 15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God not only saved us, but he adopted us into his family as sons and daughters in his kingdom. That is the mercy of God. Romans 6, verse 14. Romans 6, verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Again, we're under grace. That is the mercy of God. Romans 8, 38 and 39. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can have confidence. There is no separation from the love of God. That is the mercy of God. That is the mercy of God. We can have confidence. There is no separation from the love of God. That is God withholding punishment and giving us what we do not deserve. Hallelujah. Going back to Romans 12. And that's why Paul is begging. He's begging, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Because of his mercy, he wants us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. He's asking us to make a choice. He's asking us, make that choice to give your body a living sacrifice. And what does that mean? How do you give your body a living sacrifice? So as we think of our body, our soul, our spirit goes with it. That means we give it all. A believer offers their own body, choices, and our time to honor God. It is a daily choice to stop living for yourself and start living for God. So here again, our bodies, we don't want to let our body control. We let our will, our mind, our spirit, as we feed our spirit should control our body. And as we give our bodies, put it on the altar as a living sacrifice, we bring it, we make that choice, and we take it to the altar. And I imagine back then, they understood what it meant to take something to the as a sacrifice. but for us. It says, a living sacrifice. As I think about a living sacrifice, it means we fully give our life to Christ. And we say, God, we are yours. And then also, if we're a living sacrifice, we can also tend to come off the altar if it's too hard. But God wants us to continue daily staying on the altar as a living sacrifice. And as we present our bodies a living sacrifice, God makes our life holy by burning away the impurities. There's things in our lives that are impure. And as we continue staying at the sacrifice, at the altar, God shows us and gives us opportunity to repent. Gives us opportunity to be more like Christ. So here we see again, Paul is begging us, because of the mercies of God, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And it says, which is your reasonable service. It's just a reasonable service for us to do that. It is response to God, his great mercy and forgiveness through Christ Jesus. Romans 12, then verse 2 there. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I know from experience, it's a battle to not be conformed to the world. With social media, with things that are, that tend to draw us to be more like the world. Paul here is saying, don't be conformed to that. The music that we listen to, what comes out of our mouth, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. If we spend a lot of time on, let's say social media or listening to music that is, not the best, that's how you will become. But it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Again, as we are beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, as the Lord changes us, as we behold him, we are changed into the image from glory to glory. We are transformed by reading his word. We're transformed by meditating on him, by praying, by spending time with him. We are transformed. And that's how we renew our minds. Why? So that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. The transformation takes place as we hold the face of God, spending time in his glory. Then it says, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As we are transformed on the inside, the proof is evident on the outside. Others can see that good and acceptable and perfect will of God through our life. That's what happens when we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we are many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. And here again, he's talking about a body. And it's a beautiful thing how our body works together. We don't have, you know, we don't look at our hands, or we don't need that anymore. We need everything that our body, what's in our body. We need it for functioning of the body. And we can't say, well, we don't need this or don't need that. But it says, but what happens when, if everything works together, it flows. And it says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Don't think that because of a pastor or a teacher, or that everyone needs to be a pastor or teacher. No, we need the gifts, different gifts in the body for functioning of the body, for the edifying of the body. That in Ephesians it says that all may become, that all may mature. I think that's the meaning of it. Let me just go there. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's in Ephesians 4, verse 11. Then it says in verse 6 there, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Again, it's just the gifts and the different, in the body. Let's operate in those gifts. The gift that God has given you, use it for his glory. Then verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honoring, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Again, this is what Paul is saying. This should be an overflow of what God has done for us. It should be an overflow. It's not that we're trying to please God by doing this. It's an overflow of what God has done for us, and it's a response. And it says, let love be without dissimulation. And it's just a lot of good how we respond as a Christian. It says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but consequence to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Again, it's just, he's reminding us how to live. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. It says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Again, it's just giving us our responsibility as Christians. It's be not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. Again, in Romans, or in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 7. It's Matthew 5. There at the, he said, "Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you," that's Jesus is saying, this is how you respond. "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Here we see, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. That doesn't come naturally, but we make that choice. "Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Again, it's not something that just comes naturally for us. But he's asking us to do it. And if he's asking us to do it, it's possible. "For if you love them which love you, what reward have you?" And that's easy, to love other people the way if they love us. But that's just how the publicans do. So to wrap this up this morning, we see how Paul explained how to live out the will of God. It says, "Keep in mind that the rich mercy of God to you is past, present, and future." As we act as an act of worship, decide to yield your entire self to him. Present your body a living sacrifice. Then resist to be conformed to the world by your actions and by your thoughts. By focusing on God's word and fellowship with him, transformation by the renewing of the mind will take place. Again, by focusing on God's word and fellowship with him, we'll be transformed by the renewing of the mind will take place. Then your life will be in the will of God. Your life will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, Father, how you have given us the book of Romans and how there is some rich truth in the book of Romans. And I just pray, God, as we see those, as we look at those, as we start meditating on those, Father, that you would bring a revelation of who you are and who we are in Christ. And then as we put our faith in Christ, you redeem us. Hallelujah. We thank you for that. I just pray, God, that each person, as they leave this place, Lord, could be excited about following you and serving you in your kingdom. Pray this in Jesus' name.